This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by BlackStarLabs.com, home of the best-tasting protein powder out there. You can check them out at BlackStarLabs.com. Don't forget to mention the FitCast when you place your order. Again, this week's episode features music by Jail titled Everyone's Hip. You can check them out at SubPop.com. To this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 180. I'm Kevin Larrabee and I'm by myself this week. First off, I want to apologize. The show came out a day late this week. Just a lot of crazy stuff going around, going on at my house. And sometimes life gets in the way of things that, you want to do on the weekends. And that's basically what happened. So I apologize for that. But we do have a great show for you today. I have an interview this week with John Romanello, who is quite an interesting interview. We talk about a lot of stuff, including some not necessarily controversial stuff, but we talk about fasting and the reasonings behind that or the methodology behind it. So some interesting stuff, definitely worth listening to this week. And what we're going to do is basically just have that interview this week, but it is quite lengthy. It's about 40 minutes. And then next week, we're going to be back with a full show with an interview with Cassandra Forsyth on training and nutrition during pregnancy and post-pregnancy as well, which I think is going to be really interesting to listen to. Coming up in terms of interviews, we're going to be interviewing Martin Rooney still. That's going to be going on this week. So if you still have any last-minute questions for Martin, please send them in to questions@thefitcast.com. And you can also go to the contact us page at thefitcast.com as well to get those questions in. But I'm not going to talk too much. Just to give you guys a heads up, we do have all of our t-shirts in stock now. So if you want to order t-shirts in women's or men's sizes, we have women's sizes in small and medium. We have men's sizes in medium, large, XL, and XXL. In gray, we have the medium and large, and black for everything else for the men's. So definitely worth checking them out. And again, ordering those t-shirts really helps support the show. It's super easy to order. You can just send in money through PayPal. It's really easy. Or you can send a check to me. If you want to send a check, you can just shoot me an email at kevin@thefitcast.com and I'll send you the info on how to do that. So no more talking from me. Everyone's going to be back next week. And I hopefully last week's 2.5 hour episode kept you busy for the last week. I mean 2.5 hours. That was quite a lengthy show, but that's what we want to do. We want to give you guys some great content, and hopefully that last week's episode proved to be so. So here's John Romanello, and we're going to be talking to him for a little bit. So I hope you guys enjoy it and have a great week. There's going to be no off topic this week, nothing like that. Hopefully Lee, John, and my schedule will line up this upcoming week so we can get you back on track for episode 181. Take care, everyone, and thanks as always for listening. You guys are awesome. Please subscribe to the FitCast through iTunes, or you can go to thefitcast.com to download directly or listen to that player on the side. Again, thank you guys so much. You're the best fans out there. Take care. With me right now is John Romanello. You can check out his website at romanfitnesssystems.com. You may also know him for his fat loss program, Final Phase Fat Loss, and he has a bunch of articles up on T Nation. Roman, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we were talking a little bit early on Sunday morning, so I think actually I ended up going out really late last night, so I apologize if I'm groggy-headed, but hopefully that won't be the case. John, I'm going to ask you something first.
Sure.
Caffeine. What's your take on caffeine? Are you okay with caffeine? Are you a fan of it?
No, I'm a big fan of caffeine. It helped me graduate college, so I owe caffeine a great debt of gratitude. It's one of those things where I don't, recommend overdoing it, and I definitely watch my intake to make sure that I don't start noticing diminishing returns and start building up a tolerance. Mm-hmm. But I think that you should probably not be taking caffeine before you go out on a Saturday night. But if you need it Monday morning to get your week going, that's probably okay. I'm not like a coffee drinker or anything like that. Not because I don't think it's good for you. I just don't like the taste of coffee because I'm deep down I have like the sensibilities of a 12-year-old, and I'll never be a real grown up because I don't like coffee. But I think that you know, people use it a bit too much, but you know, it's one of those things where like I'm not convinced that it's going to be absolutely terrible for you. So much like artificial sweeteners, I kind of take a very gentle middle approach. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just if caffeine isn't one of the, you know, main macronutrients of your diet, you're probably okay.
Gotcha. Very cool. Let's dive right into the questions.
Yeah.
The first one that we'll hit on is one that comes from a recent blog post that you had about fasting after cheat days. I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about the story behind it, the idea of feast and then fast, and also the rationale behind it.
Sure. So let's talk a little bit about feast days or cheat days. I was first ever exposed to cheat days when I was doing Body for Life when I was like 17 or 18. And so, you know, Bill Phillips had the free day in there. And then one of my very, very close friends, one of my best friends actually, Joel Marion, he had really seen a lot from that. And he went on to really kind of, you know, build his career around cheat days. He first wrote an article for T-Nation called The Cheater's Diet. Then he went on to write a print book called Cheat to Lose. And then he developed Cheat Your Way Thin, which is a one of the best-selling ebooks, diet ebooks of all time. And now, in addition to that, he is recently releasing The Extreme Fat Loss Diet, which also features cheat days. So Joel and I have, you know, known each other since we're like 19, maybe. And as he was developing these programs, you know, I was always, you know, doing the bodybuilder thing where I would try to gain a lot of mass and then, you know, so I'd get kind of pudgy because my body has a tendency to go that way. And then I would diet back down. So anytime I was dieting back down, Joel would come at me and he was like, all right, well, I designed a new diet for you. You got to try this one out. And, you know, they'd always feature cheat days. And we had a lot of success with a lot of things and a lot of spectacular failures along the way. And, cheat days were something that worked really well for me because they gave me a break from dieting. So, you know, when I was in that college phase, when between like 19 and maybe 22, and I was just dieting fairly strictly for bodybuilding shows, you know, my diet during the week was very static. It was tuna out of a can and, you know, nuts with no salt and grilled chicken and cottage cheese and, you know, very like draconian and utilitarian. So then when I could have these cheat days while I was away at school and kind of do whatever my friends were doing, it helped a lot. And then even more so when I graduated, and it was just like a nice thing to do to be able to take a day off. So I did notice that it helped a lot. The problem with cheat days is that when you're eating extremely clean foods all the time, your body is really good at processing clean foods and not so good at dealing with not so clean foods. So, you know, the thing that happened there was I have a very big appetite, and Joel's main rule for cheat days is don't count calories. Don't worry about micronutrients, macronutrients. Just, you know, like have a good workout, get a good post-workout shake, and then spend the rest of the day eating whatever you want. Just don't eat until the point of discomfort. So even considering that, one of the issues that I had was that I have a big appetite. So, I mean, I literally would eat several boxes of cereal and whatever else. Well, my cheat day is actually today. I'm going to film some video of it. It'll be hilarious. So the problem was that the day after was really bad digestively. You know, like I'd be in and out of the bathroom every 20 minutes. And, you know, so the whole rule for cheat days, and this wasn't necessarily like exclusive to Joel. A lot of the other guys who we were taking our cues from at the time had always said, if you have a cheat day or if you fall off your diet for a day, the most important thing is to get back on the horse right away. So if you have the 6 scheduled meals and you have your cheat day on Sunday, then Monday go back to your 6 scheduled meals. And I had done that, and every single Monday was really just like absolutely miserable. So it got to the point where I knew that the cheat days were helping me lose fat, but it was almost – and it was great because I got a break from dieting. So I was almost not worth it though, because every Sunday was awesome and every Monday sucked. Mm-hmm. And then one day, you know, I skipped breakfast that Monday, and, you know, I was on the phone with Joel. He was living in Jersey at the time, and I'm here in New York. And we were just kind of chatting, and I was like, yeah, I haven't eaten anything all day. I feel really good. And he's like, oh, well, you know, we just kind of talked about it. And I guess over the next 3 weeks, I just kept trying, like, all right, I'm not going to eat until, like, I feel hungry later today. And then so it got to the point where I was not eating until about 6 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. And then we just kind of ran with it from there. So it turned into taking, the day after a cheat day and just not eating a lot to not eating at all, and then dosing with BCAAs. And then Joel, because he's like a research hound, just kind of dove into it, and he just started looking at what fast days are good for, and you know, what could be the drawbacks and what could be the potential benefits. So for me, it really developed as a way to mitigate the digestive aftermath of having taken in, you know, anywhere between 8,000 and 10,000 calories of crap, and then, you know, having to go to the bathroom and deal with just not feeling good. Whereas for Joel, he kind of looked at it as an opportunity to create a massive caloric deficit. Mm-hmm. So if you don't eat for a whole day and you're being active, you're going to create a huge calorie deficit just by not eating. Let's say you normally take in 2,500 calories a day. Now, if you're not going to eat at all, you're already 25 in the hole. And then whatever activity you have, you know, you're burning those calories as well. So you could theoretically create a deficit of up to 5,000 calories if you're extremely active throughout that day, particularly if you do some high intensity cardio, you know, and have that afterburn effect where you're getting all the EPOC. So everyone is always afraid that they're going to lose muscle mass by doing that. You know, that seems like a reasonable thing to say, right? Like, if I don't eat all day, am I more likely to lose mass?
Well, I think the question that I was going to pose to you is, you know, how much activity are you doing on those days? Because of in terms of recovery and things like that, isn't that going to come into play with, you know, post-exercise?
The main thing I do is I just try to do a lot of work early in the morning. You know, like, I'm still like, I might, your cheat day like lasts until you go to bed, okay? So I tend to get up fairly early on Monday morning. So if I have my cheat day on Sunday and my last meal might be a bowl of ice cream at like 11:30, mm-hmm. you know, I do try to have a little protein right before I go to bed. So, you know, I might have ice cream mixed with protein powder and some peanut butter. But then if I'm up at like 7 o'clock and working out, like, I don't feel that's a long enough time to really work with. You know, that's not a huge fast. Like, how many regular bodybuilders every single fat loss cycle they go on, wake up and do a workout on an empty stomach right before, you know, as soon as they wake up in the morning? Mm-hmm. You know, people do an hour of cardio on an empty stomach. And that's essentially what I do. So my first workout of the day is a weight training workout. And I do that as soon as I wake up, you know, a little bit of warm up, and then maybe I'll do some high intensity cardio. And then later on in the day, as my energy starts to wane, really, it's just a matter of doing like low intent, you know, just going for a walk or being active with the dog. So you're not like, you know, there's not like this 30-hour period where you're not eating and then trying to train. It's really only, you know, I mean, at the absolute most, you know, it's really what I would say if there are people out there who have like regular 9-to-5 jobs and aren't, you know, like I get to work in a gym, so I'm there all day, so I could work out whenever. But you know, if you're the type of person who has to be up and at work and you're in work by 9 a.m., then if you're going to do cheat days followed by fast days, I would definitely say that day it behooves you to wake up a little earlier and hit the gym, you know, as soon as possible. That way you can have a great workout, and then maybe, you know, 5 p.m. when you go to the gym after work, do your cardio then. So for me, it's really just getting it out of the way as quickly as possible so that my energy levels are super high, and then going from there, you know, just kind of toning down the activity as the day and my energy kind of fall off. I won't lie, there's definitely a period in the middle of the day where you feel like just extremely hungry and you're second guessing it. But if you can get through that 3-hour period, you know, you're fine.
Did Joel find any stuff when he was jumping into the research for this that kind of like said, you know, energy levels will be sustained throughout that day after that cheat meal, and, you know, where you would still be able to recover properly and you would kind of returned back to homeostasis after that, or
he's found some stuff that basically suggested that you're going to have higher levels of energy, and I think, you know, it just could be increased fat oxidation and things like that. I haven't looked as closely at the research, thankfully. I'm in a very, very fortunate position where I'm able to put my trust in him implicitly at this point and just kind of, you know, take everything he says on faith. But for those who obviously don't know him as well and who don't have as much experience, you know, he, I think, for the Cheat Your Way Thin program had well over 300 pieces of literature, scientific literature backing it up. With this one, he's got like three times that. I mean, it's something like, you know, like 1,030 studies or something. So I'm assuming there's some stuff in there. And please, you know, for anyone listening, excuse my ignorance for not knowing more about it and recommending it. But at the same time, you know, it's been working for me and my clients. So that's really why I stand behind it.
Let's talk a little bit more about the cheat day. Angela, who I think actually sent this through on Twitter, says that Lyle McDonald says that the leptin levels will be soaring. She says, I should rephrase that, in some of your stuff that you said the leptin levels will be soaring after a cheat day, but Lyle McDonald says that that's only going to happen after lots of carbs, but not carbs plus fat. That's going to equal fat gain. What are your thoughts on that?
We've tried it both ways. You know, I've had cheat days where I minimize fat, and I've had cheat days where I have fat and carbs. So, I mean, I'm familiar with the research Lyle is citing, mainly because that was the initial stuff that we looked at with, I guess, both the Cheater's Diet article and the Cheat to Lose Diet. Mm-hmm. That said, I have been not worrying about fat as much over the past 3 to 4 years, and I haven't noticed anything significant. So I'm curious. I would be curious to measure leptin levels and see whether or not there is a decrease in the rise of leptin levels with carbs and fats versus carbs alone in myself. But at the same time, I haven't noticed a drop off in results. So while I'm very willing to say that it's entirely possible that leptin levels are not going to be as elevated, there doesn't seem to be any significant change in the rate of fat loss. So it's very clear that we can't look at leptin alone. There has to be a lot of other stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So having said that, you know, you kind of have to figure out why you're doing your cheat day. If you're doing it just to lose fat and you want to turn it into another like strictly, you know, faceted diet day, and you're only going to eat, you know, carbs, and you're going to give yourself all these rules, then maybe you're not the type of person that should be using cheat days. Because the whole idea of cheat days, the whole benefit for me, is the psychological break from dieting. Like, mm-hmm, you know, yeah. It's I love carbs, but I don't want to be like, all right, well, I can have cereal on my cheat day, but I can't have pizza. Then it's not a cheat day, it's a cereal day. And if you're the type of person that wants to have all these rules in place, then, you know, there are probably other ways for you to lose fat where you don't necessarily do that. Because, you know, it's just a matter of trying to find something that fits with your personality. So, again, I would encourage people to try it both ways and see what works best for them. I haven't noticed a significant difference with myself or my clients using carbs and fats versus just carbs.
We have another question kind of on this subject from Brendan. Mm-hmm. And his question is, this is Brendan from Tampa, Florida. And he says, John, when implementing a fasting day after a massive cheat day, how would you implement supplementation if one wanted to work out while fasting? Would 5 to 10 grams of BCAAs mixed with some creatine every 3 hours suffice? Thanks, John and Fit Guest Group, for all you've done to help further our society of fitness and health enthusiasts, Brendan. That's very nice to say, Brendan. But we talked a little bit about this a couple minutes ago, but I guess kind of going into a little bit more detail about what you do during those fast days for supplementation.
Yeah. I would say definitely the BCAAs are great. BioTest has some great BCAAs. I think Blue Star Nutrition has good ones. So yeah, definitely if you're concerned about muscle loss, you should be supplementing with, you know, there are all sorts of formulas to figure it out. You know, like a lot of people are recommending like, you know, maybe 1 gram per 10 pounds of lean body mass over the course of the, you know, or whatever it is. But yeah, no, I would say 5 grams every 2 to 3 hours is perfect. I hesitate to say whether or not the creatine, it's a BCAAs break down and start flowing in the bloodstream very quickly. The creatine, I would say I don't think you're going to notice anything there. If you have a creatine product that has high levels of BCAAs and that's where you're getting it, then yeah, that, you know, then that makes sense. But I would say that, you're not going to see any additional benefit from dosing with creatine, you know, 5 or 6 times throughout the day. You know, especially if you've been through your loading phase and your creatine stores are pretty high and, you know, during your cheat day, you were eating, you know, some meat anyway, which, you know, I tend to do. You know, I'm known to have a steak with my ice cream on cheat days, which is delicious. I know it sounds gross, but you should do it. And so, yeah, ice cream steak. It's the way to go.
But, John, I have a horrible admission that last night, we were talking a little bit before the interview, that I went out with a couple guys, and mm-hmm. there's this grill in the Boston area, and I actually had a piece of a deep-fried Snickers bar. And
I have tried those. Yeah, that's
interesting.
I wasn't impressed with the deep-fried Snickers bar. I kind of thought, you know what, this is
– Agreed. This,
it's got enough on its own.
Yeah.
On the other hand – the deep fried Oreos I've tried, I was like, I could see why they thought this was a good idea. It's there because they're all, they're different and soggy. The problem with the deep fried Oreo is trying to find the right drink, because you're not, you know, milk and deep fried Oreos.
Deep fried food, yeah.
Yeah, it's not good. So that's the problem with those deep fried things, because you can't really, you know, like normally with deep fried stuff, you're just like, maybe I want like a beer or a soda. I don't want beer with my Oreos. So. That's the main thing. Yeah, I mean, outside of the fact that you're clogging your arteries and you're probably I find that the problem is trying to find the right pairing, you know? Exactly. So it's hard. It's not as easy as white wine and chicken. You got to find exactly the right beverage to drink with your deep fried Oreos, which can be a problem.
It can be. Let's take a little bit of a step back, and we've talked a lot about the fasting days and what to do. I should say the refeed days or the free days and what to do after that. But for your clients, what kind of calorie deficit are you looking to hit during the week coming up until that day?
Coming up to the cheat day?
Correct. Yeah. I mean, so like just, you know, for the other 6 days during the week, okay. What kind of calorie deficit are we looking at?
If someone does not have a cheat day and they're just doing a more moderate diet, you know, mm-hmm. without cheat days at all, I'll recommend a deficit of around 400 calories per day. Which is really, you know, I'll go as high as, and that's just from dietary stuff. Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of that is going to be based on some formulas I have that's dependent on, you know, a person's body weight. Like, you know, I would probably drop calories, if I'm at higher levels of body fat, as high as 600 for myself, cause I could watch it easily. 400 is the number I give. I have people starting out at 20% body fat or more, and I find that that's a really nice deficit. And then, you know, we'll kind of decrease that as they get leaner, because I do find that, you know, in lean condition, people just need to eat, you know, to have create a greater caloric deficit through activity versus through diet. If people are having cheat days, to address your specific question more specifically, we'll really go for a deficit, you know, as high as 600 to start. So I do have people having, you know, maybe the day before the cheat day, having, you know, a deficit of 800 and really working on depletion stuff. And then, you know, the cheat day is the big day. So, yeah, it's going to vary person to person based on size, based on body fat and lean body mass. And also the day, but the big day, the big deficit day is immediately before the cheat day to work on depletion. Mm-hmm. And then immediately after the cheat day, the fast day. So, you know, I would say that, you know, maybe throughout the course of the week, you'd really want to have something between, you know, 2,500 and 3,500, depending on what size you are. But, you know, to give some numbers, I would say if you wanted to average it out, I would have people doing cheat days at you know, around 600 per day deficit.
Gotcha.
So, you know, that's about 3,600 calories, not counting the cheat day. And that's, again, if you're not having a fast day. So, if, again, you're cheating on Sunday, and but like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you have your 600 deficit. You're still, you know, dieting hard enough to lose a pound of fat per week if you did nothing else, and combined with your exercise, you should be more than okay.
Balint has a question about sticking to diets. Mm-hmm. Any advice for goal setting to help keep up motivation? As much as I want to lose body fat, that bar of chocolate is always calling to me. How do I say no?
Well, if you're not having cheat days, you know, if you are having cheat days, you just answer that call on that day. If you're not doing that, I find the biggest thing that I've done, and I've written about this in a couple of magazines and on my blog, tangibility is huge. So when you just go on a diet and you've decided I'm not going to eat these foods, or I'm going to only eat these foods, that's a very sort of like abstract idea. And ideas are great, but they lack real tangibility. So one of the things that I do is I make lists and I put them, like, for example, whenever I train my skinny guys and I'm trying to get them to eat more, one of the things I do is we write out on Post-its, you should be eating right now. Mm-hmm. And wherever the guy spends the most time, we'll put that in front of him. So, you know, if I have students, you know, we'll take that Post-it and we'll put it right on his laptop, you know. So every time he's looking at his screen, every time he signs on to Facebook, he's just like, oh, crap, I should be eating right now. Hold on. And he'll go get food. And we kind of go the opposite way for fat loss clients. So one of the things I always recommend people do is make lists of everything. So make a list of all the foods you're allowed to eat and post that on your refrigerator, and post it also on your cupboards where you keep food, and also make a list of foods you're not allowed to eat. So every single time you're about to reach for food, you just kind of have to like look at these lists. You know, putting things in black and white gives it tangibility. It makes it a lot more real, for especially for me, because I'm a big you know, I'm a big word guy. So I think that people are a lot less likely to screw up when they have that staring them in the face. And the other thing is obviously try not to have those foods around. So make a shopping list of all the foods you're going to buy that are in line with your diet, and buy only those foods. So, you know, obviously, you know, don't go food shopping hungry and all the stuff that you learned from your mom and I learned from my mom, and our moms probably learned from Cosmo. But, you know, just don't go food shopping when you're hungry. Best thing is to have like a healthy meal, and make a list of all the stuff that you need, and, you know, buy that and keep it around. But having lists is huge. Another thing that I encourage people to do, and I shared this with Men's Fitness Magazine, it helps if you write down your goal every single day, or just write it down once and carry it with you. One of the things that I always do is anytime I'm starting to feel down, or anytime one of my clients is just like, you know, kind of experiencing a lull, we'll write down an excuse. Just like, all right, it's been a really hard week. I've been really busy, or, you know, like I'm not really sure what's going on with my girlfriend. Write down all the excuses that you could have, and then tear that list up. And then take your goal, write down your goal is I'm going to be, you know, 198 pounds at 6% body fat by June 1st. You write that down. So you take the one where you wrote your goal and you put it in your wallet or your pocket and you carry it around with you. You're carrying the physical embodiment of your goal around with you. You make it real. You make it tangible and physical. But then you create something that's representative of all the excuses that you could have, and you destroy it. You actually physically rip it up. And whether or not that's, you know, some sort of deeper mysticism that people are going to read into that, or whether or not it's just, you know, me creating tangibility for myself, I really find that with probably 99% of my clients, doing stuff like that helps keep them on track. Because once you've destroyed something negative and created something positive, and you literally have those things with you, in addition to having lists and things like that, it's really almost impossible to lose motivation. You know, if you have things like that in place for yourself, you're really going to see that in almost all cases, you're able to kind of deny the call of the candy bar.
Next question that we have comes from, as I shuffle these around a little bit, comes from Matt. It says, hey, FitCast crew, I've been listening for over a year now, and I love the show and listen to it all the time during my training. You guys are great and funny, too. So funny that sometimes I have to hit pause on my iPod because I can't finish my set because I'm laughing so much. You should never listen to this while lifting, ever. You'll either fall asleep or laugh. It's bad. My question is aimed at John. Anyways, I'm 27 years old, 5'9", about 190 pounds, and in pretty decent shape because I am in the military. Over the past 6 months, I have used full body part splits with mostly compound movements. I think I've made pretty good progress, but I am noticing that my posture, core, abs/back, and body fat levels need some work, so I want to focus on that. What is the minimum I need to work the other muscles so that I don't lose the strength and size in the muscles I already have? My diet is pretty well dialed in. I'm sticking to the precision nutrition plan the best I can. Once again, love the show. Thanks.
Okay. I'm looking at that question now. I'm a little bit confused. He's saying he's used full body part split. So I guess that means he's splitting up his workouts into a day for each body part. It's hard to kind of, you know, because he says full body part.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, so all right. So let's address it from that way. If you're doing if you've been structuring your workouts in a way that, you know, you're doing, let's say you know, chest and biceps or chest and triceps one day and then, you know, so it's a traditional body part split, you know, chest and biceps and then you have, you know, maybe a leg day. I would say that if you're worried about maintaining muscle, one of the things that I would say is you're going to be a lot better off with for maintenance. You really only need frequent stimulation rather than infrequent dedicated work. So I have found that, you know, doing a relatively high intensity set, you know, let's say using 8 to 10 reps max on full body circuits and going, you know, maybe one rep shy of failure is more than enough to maintain size. And having a separate day where you're just doing, you know, like lower reps, like 5 or below for another full body circuit, and maybe you'll do 2 sets of that to maintain strength. So just those 2 workouts during the course of the week. And then the main thing that I want to address, and this is why I saved it for last, if you're in the military and you're having postural issues, like where do you think the rest of the population is falling? I've never met anyone with better posture than military guys.
Exactly.
So I'm really curious what all you're doing with your workout, because it sounds to me like you're not structuring things properly. You might have just some imbalances, or you might not be stretching enough. If your posture is getting all, you know, effed up, then it's entirely possible that you're doing all this like heavy ab work, and you know, maybe now your psoas and other hip flexors are tight and they're kind of creating this anterior pelvic tilt, or at the same time maybe you're doing too much chest work and now your shoulders are being rolled forward and it kind of looks like kyphosis.
Mm-hmm.
So I would venture to say that it's not you need to worry less about you know, how to train your abs and back, and a little bit more about how to structure things so that you don't exacerbate these pre-existing things. Because it seems like, you know, your body fat, if you have your dial, you know, if your stuff dialed in, it seems like there's probably deeper issues than just coming up with a new split so you could do more abs. I would say that there are probably some imbalances in your workout, so I'd be curious to, you know, to see that. What I'll go ahead and do is I'd recommend that you sort of take a more analytical look at your own workout. Check out some of the postural stuff by Eric Cressy and Mike Robertson. Neanderthal No More is a great series they have.
Yes, yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of really interesting stuff there where they talk about, you know, kind of looking at yourself from the side and, you know, where your ears are in line with your shoulders, in line with your hips, and how to, like, all right, if your shoulders are rounding forward, if your ears and your hips are in line, that's great. And if your shoulders and your ears are in line but your hips aren't, like, so they give all these little cues and they tell you how to address them. So maybe in terms of your posture, you need to just do more dedicated stretching and dedicate, you know, maybe 6 to 8 weeks to just correcting whatever these issues are. And also check out Dr. Kareem Samori, who is a great physical therapist that I work with. He's got a great site at Video Fitness Blog, and we actually did an assess and correct workshop where he kind of tore me apart, because I've got some knee issues which contribute to my hip, which kind of you know moves a little bit upwards. So you know there's all these other things that could be contributing. So I would say that if you're concerned about losing size and strength, you know, one full body day of 8 to 10 to maintain size, and then one full body day of 2 sets of about 5 reps, you know, each time going relatively close to failure, that's enough to help you maintain both size and strength, particularly if you're eating enough calories. And in terms of all the other stuff, I would say that we need to figure that out, you know, especially if you're in the military and you have bad posture, then something's going on.
We're going to finish up with a question from Rachel. She says, all right, John, you have 30 days to get as much body fat off a client as possible. What's your plan?
Oh, wow. The problem with that question is it doesn't qualify what the client was doing up till that point. And so let me turn this around. Because I don't know anything about this client, Kevin, what I want you to do, give me some specifics about what you think this client would look like, and then I will give a very specific answer because I don't want to keep giving generalities.
Very cool. Let's since she's a woman, let's say we got a woman who is getting ready to go. Let's say Rachel's getting ready to go on a trip to Florida or maybe Puerto Rico, going on a nice little trip. And she's been doing good with her nutrition. She's been doing pretty good with her training. She still is not locked in, but let's say she has probably 10 or 15 pounds to where she wants to be for this trip. But she's still, you know, she's been in the gym before. She's been doing her lifting. She's been doing her interval training, but maybe she just needs to dial it up to the next level.
Okay. So really what we're looking at, we're looking at a client who is probably on the lower echelons of being an intermediate trainee. And who has some experience before. So we don't have to worry about overcoming all of the objections that women have in terms of weight training. We don't have to worry about overcoming the objections that a lot of people have in terms of high intensity cardio, because she's doing all of that. In addition to that, she's been doing what she thinks is probably correct in terms of diet. So
exactly. Yeah.
Really what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at her weight training and her cardio and her diet. So thing one that I would probably do is I would have her rotating training styles over that 30 days. So much like I do in my Final Phase fat loss program, in almost all of my fat loss programs, and I've written about this on a couple of magazines, that there should be at least one day of the week that is radically different from all of the other days of the week. So whether it's in the tempo of the training or the setup of the training or the equipment used, you know, if you're primarily doing dumbbell training and then and other weight training circuits, then one day per week you should be using body weight training. And you know, it basically just the neurological differences between using different training modalities, you know, you just create a lot of different muscle activation and things like that. So I would look at what she's doing, and if I didn't want to radically change her entire program because I thought that would decrease compliance rather than increase compliance, then I would just change one day. So let's assume this woman has been doing some metabolic training. You know, she does her relatively fast-paced circuits with dumbbells. I would give her probably one day where we did maybe lactic acid training or body weight only training. I would have to decide based on what I thought she needed. But lactic acid training is slow lifting and fast lowering. So, you know, relatively slow concentrics and fast eccentrics. And the thing there is that lactic acid is produced a little bit more so in the concentric phase of lifting. And so we try to, you know, increase that and accentuate that a bit more. So we do have to lighten the weight. Producing a lot of lactic acid will have not a concurrent, but a corresponding increase in growth hormone production. And what this will do is kind of, you know, the more growth hormone we have produced and circulating, the more fat someone is going to lose. Additionally, it's a completely different look from what she's been doing in terms of just the structure of her training. So she's also likely to, you know, get a fat loss effect from that, just because her body won't be at all conditioned to handle it. It'll be something completely different. So I don't know whether or not Tony Horton has kind of coined the term muscle confusion to the point where I'm not allowed to use it, but you know, just basically, you know, there's a lot to be said for throwing in variety.
I love how you just brought that up, John. I just saw that infomercial again yesterday. It was awesome.
Yeah. You know, Tony's a good dude and he's got an awesome product. But I'm not sure if we're allowed to use that term anymore.
It's trademarked.
Yeah, it is a trade. It might be a muscle confusion, might be trademarked. So if you get sued and I just please send me the bill. So that's thing one. So I'll try to find a balance between what she's been doing and what I can throw in. So a lot of clients, you need to change everything completely because they just need some complete, you know, in the case of the client we've created, she's been doing a lot of things right. So we just need to kind of drop the hammer a little bit and not change everything completely. The other thing that'll do, if she's not already keeping a food log, she needs to start. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I notice is when I have people write down a food log, within 3 to 5 days, that if they're writing everything down without me giving them any coaching, any cues at all, it starts to change.
Yeah.
You know, again, writing things down just gives tangibility and reality. So when people have to look in black and white at all the crap they're putting into their bodies, they're less likely to eat it. And then, so I'll look at the food log with her after about a week. And I'll just say, okay, well, now we have 21 days left. Here are the things we need to change. Usually what I'll see with female clients in particular is that they're not eating enough, or that they're eating too much too late in the day and not enough early in the day. So a lot of times I'll just restructure things and I'll have them eat roughly 30% of their daily calories right around breakfast, and then another, you know, 20% right around the workout, and then I'll split the rest evenly throughout their day. One of the holes that I frequently see with both men and women is they're just not drinking enough water. And that's an easy fix. And, you know, just like if you think about, you know, I don't want to give some basic analogy where water is the lubricant and helps the machinery of your body run. But, you know, I hear that one a lot. But more than anything else, it's you're not going to really have much success with any physical goal if you're not hydrated. You're just not giving your body what it needs. And there's too many metabolic processes that are going to be hindered by dehydration. Additionally, water does help you feel less hungry. You know, it's estimated that in something of like 80% of Americans, the thirst response is so weak and so deconditioned that it's often mistaken for hunger. So that's something really important to touch on. So, you know, drinking more water, nutrient timing, and just giving slightly different training modalities throughout the week, or, you know, and one that's completely different is usually enough. The other thing that we'll do is, you know, we'll just write everything down. Everything gets recorded. And, you know, one of the things that I like doing is I like to create custom calendars for people. I have this application on my computer that I, you know, it's just kind of like a spreadsheet that I created. And it's a backwards calendar. And so it basically sets the, you know, for let's say today is April 1st or May 1st rather, in the top right hand corner, it also has the number of days until the event. So it functions as a regular calendar, but at the same time, it's giving me a countdown, mm-hmm. which is cool. So, you know, so you just crossing those days off, you kind of get a little bit, you know, more aware. So, you know, I like to have people do all that and, you know, write down like goals that they'd like to have during the course of that time period. So if she's trying to lose 15 pounds, then ideally within 15 days, we would like to have lost 7 pounds. So, you know, we'll use that as kind of a gauge, although that doesn't generally happen. Usually the first week is really slow. The second 2 weeks are, you know, so weeks 2 and 3 are really, really incredible. And then week 4 is a little bit less impressive. But yeah, that's probably how I would approach it. That's the most specific I could be without knowing more about a specific client, but that's usually how I approach it.
Very cool. Well, John, I think we will finish up by asking, you know, again, just talk a little bit about where can people check out some more of your stuff and if there's anything coming up in the future that people should keep an eye out for.
Sure. Yeah, please, guys, check out my blog at www.romanfitnesssystems.com. That is my web home, my blog, my baby. I'm not updating it as frequently as I should lately because I've been involved in a lot of stuff. One of the things you guys should be on the lookout, I've gotten a lot of feedback from a lot of people, and I'm going to be doing some more video, which is either going to be really good or really bad because I tend to screw up on video a lot and I don't edit. So yeah, it's going to be very Gary Vaynerchukian. But yeah, so also check out my program, Final Phase Fat Loss, which has had a lot of success recently. I'm very thankful for that. It's a program designed to help people lose the last anywhere between 5 and 15 pounds, but also break through fat loss plateaus. Talks a lot about hormonal stuff. And other than that, you know, I've been writing for T-Nation a lot. You could check out my stuff there. Had some stuff in Men's Health recently. I'm doing stuff with Men's Fitness. Pretty much all over. So if you Google me, it'll come up. And if you have any questions, you could always shoot me an email. Big thing, I'm huge on Facebook. So join my fan page if you're interested, or you know, just friend me directly. I'm you know, like anyone else, I'm slightly addicted. So I'm on there a lot. I answer any question that I get, and I just try to interact with people as much as possible. So if you're interested in me, I'm interested in helping you. So that's the best I could say.
Awesome, John. It was a blast having you on the show. And again, hopefully next time you come on, maybe we'll just talk a little bit about video games, talk about the latest sci-fi movies that are coming out.
Yeah, man. All right, so we'll reconvene. We'll talk about Iron Man 2 sometime in the next month or so.
Hell yes.
It'll be awesome.
All right, thank you so much, John.
Thanks a lot, Kevin.